right, Matthew 25. Go ahead and turn over there if you will. Matthew 25. We're going to focus in on verses 14 through 30 today. Familiar parable. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. So this is our third sermon in the series that we've been going through on spiritual disciplines. In week one, we talked about why Bible study is important. And we learned that the Bible is important and it speaks into our lives. We studied Psalm 19 and looked at what David wrote about the Word of God. He said the Word of God is perfect and trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, reliable, valuable, and revealing. So he had a lot to say about God's Word and why it's so important. And then the next week we talked about prayer. Last week we talked about prayer, and we learned from Paul in Colossians 4 that we are to be devoted to prayer. Not just be devoted, but we're to be devoted by being watchful, looking for God to answer, looking for God's activity, and then be praying with thanksgiving. We also looked at what Jesus prayed for specifically in John 17 and how that applies to us. So today we're going to move forward, and this is part three, and we're going to look at the issue of stewardship. Now, when we think of stewardship, we normally think about money only. And, and that's understandable, and that's a part of it, certainly. Stewardship, money is a part of stewardship, but it's not the only part. And so this morning, we're going to learn exactly what stewardship is and how stewardship should shape our lives as Christians. So we're going to read the passage here, this parable, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, this great parable that Jesus told, the parable of the talents, because this speaks directly about stewardship and how it applies to our lives. So let's read it together, then we'll get into the sermon, okay? Verse 14, chapter 25. For it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man who had received 5 talents went and put them to work and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man who had earned 2 more, or man with 2, earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the man who had received 5 talents approached and presented 5 more talents and said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. Look, I've earned 5 more talents. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy. Then the man with 2 talents approached and he said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. Look, I've earned 2 more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share in your master's joy. Then the man who had received 1 talent also approached him and said, Master, I know you are a difficult man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But his master replied to him, You evil, lazy slave. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And when I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A very sobering but important parable. We're going to get into that more about that in just a minute as we think about stewardship. But I want to answer a couple of questions as we think about stewardship in the truest sense of the word, from the Bible. So what is stewardship? Well, the Greek word for stewardship in the New Testament is a word called oikonomia. Does that sound familiar to you? It's where we get our word economy in our English language. But the word stewardship in the Greek language specifically means management of a household. So when you see that word in the New Testament, specifically that's what it's talking about, managing things. It refers to the responsibility that is entrusted to a manager over someone else's affairs. So that's what stewardship is. That's the truest meaning of the word in the Greek language. Now, what is the responsibility of a steward? So if you were a steward over something, that means that you are acting as a manager or administrator of the affairs and possessions of another person, okay? This person is accountable to his boss or his master or whatever you want to call him. That person who is the steward is accountable to the one who is the owner or the master or the boss. Now, in the Bible, I think about Joseph, right, in the Old Testament. Joseph served as Potiphar's steward. Remember that? Joseph was placed in charge of Potiphar's entire household and all that he owned. He governed or managed the affairs of Potiphar. Now, whether you have thought about it or not, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, we as Christians have been entrusted with stewardship as well. Okay? We have been entrusted as stewards. Now, as I stated earlier, when we think of stewardship, we typically think of one thing, money. But stewardship is so much more than that. It's really all-encompassing. It touches every area of our lives. And here's a big statement, guys. Whether we realize it or not, the things that we call our own are not really ours, but they're God's. The things that we call our own, our possessions, our things, our stuff, they really are not our things. They're God's things. And in all actuality, we really have no possessions. In fact, according to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we don't even own ourselves. Paul says, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? He said, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body. And so when we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, God becomes our master. We are responsible to manage His affairs, His possessions, the things that we have. We're accountable to God for everything that makes up who we are. So listen, whether we have a lot or whether we have a little, our responsibility as God's stewards is to manage what is His faithfully. Now, this includes everything. We've been talking about money's part of it, but it includes everything. Opportunities, skills, employment, family, talent, spiritual gifts, money, and possessions. All these things that make up who we are and comprise who we are is for the glory of God and for His honor. We're just simply taking care of what is already God's. And we're using it for His glory and honor. And so if biblical stewardship encompasses every part of our lives, we have to always think of ourselves as God's servants. We have to ask ourselves, am I the Lord of my life or is God the Lord of my life? When we come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we do just that. He's our Savior because He saved us from our sins, but He's also our Lord, right? That means He's our boss. And so am I the Lord of my life or is God the Lord of my life? When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? Paul says we exchange our old lives for new ones. We become a new creation. We moved from an earthly citizenship to a heavenly citizenship. This earth, even though we're here for a time, however long that is, we're just passing through. Because this is not our final destination, amen? We have a better place that we're looking forward to. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so true stewardship reflects on this lifestyle exchange as we are under the lordship of Jesus Christ now. And as I said earlier, a perfect illustration of the fact that we are God's stewards is found in the parable of the talents. And we already read it. I kind of jumped ahead of myself. I was supposed to read the scripture now, but we read it earlier. It doesn't really matter. So let's get into it. The parable of the talents. We're going to kind of break it down here. So the parable of the talents first has some characters in the story. Now, this is just a story. This is a story that Jesus told to emphasize a very true spiritual point. So in the first part of the story, we see the master. And the master is obviously very rich, right? He had enough wealth to have servants and go on a long trip. And he had enough money to be able to give each of his servants money to invest while he was gone. And even though he was going on a long trip, he still wanted his money to work for himself. That's why he divided up the money. And Jesus said the master gave each servant according to his own ability. According to his own ability. Now, the first servant received 5 talents. Now, if you don't know what a talent is, a talent was the heaviest biblical unit of weight, equal to about 75 pounds. And so I looked this up because I wanted to know how much a talent of something would be worth. So figuring in today's market value, I looked at gold and silver. I don't know if it was a talent of gold or a talent of silver, but it was some kind of monetary value. In looking at today's market value of gold and silver, five talents of gold equals about $13 million. 5 talents of silver is less than that, about $162,000. But still, for us, that's a lot of money. Okay, so this guy was rich, and he gave to each one according to his own ability. The second servant received 2 talents, and the third servant received 1. And no one received more or less than he could handle. And obviously the master, I mean, again, this is just a story, but the way Jesus makes it look is the master knew his servants well. For the one he entrusted with least let him down. We're going to get to that in a minute. So that was the master. What about, went the wrong way. What about the servants? So let's break them down just for a minute. The first servant, he immediately put his master's money to work, and he earned 5 more talents. In Jesus' day, if you were carrying out business for your master, that was something that was allowed to do business on behalf of your master. And so he immediately put the master's money to work, and he earned 5 more. The second servant, same thing. He only had 2, but he put it to work, and he received 2 more. But what did the third servant do? Well, he dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. And to Jesus' listeners, that would have been something like, okay, that's an appropriate thing to do, because people in that time, they did stuff like that. They would bury their valuables. They would bury their possessions. That wasn't uncommon for them to do that. They would bury them for safekeeping. But look at the rewards here that Jesus mentions in the parable. The first servant, after the master returned, what happened? The servant brought him the 10 talents, and the master was pleased with his efforts. He was pleased with the profit. And the reward for fulfilling his responsibility is even greater responsibility that he gave to that servant. In addition, he got to share in his master's joy. And that's in reference to eternal rewards. The second servant, same thing. After the master returned, the second servant brought him the 4 talents that he had made. The master was pleased with his efforts and his profit. He had faithfully carried out his responsibility, even though he had less than the first servant. But he was faithful in what he had been given. And he received the same reward as the first. He got greater responsibility, and he got to share in his master's joy. That's all well and great, but what about the third servant? After the master returned, what happened? The third servant brought back the single talent that he had been given. He had hidden it. Remember, he buried it. He hid it. And what did he say? He called his master difficult. He accused him. Not only that, he accused him of exploiting the labors of other people. And so the third servant, he played it safe. He wanted to protect himself. He didn't want to put himself out there. And so he made up excuses instead of realizing it is my responsibility to serve my master and look out for his interests, not mine. His thought was on self, not his master, not the person he was representing. His thought was on self. And as a result, what did the master call him? Man, this is harsh. He called him evil and lazy. Evil and lazy. You know, the master didn't really expect much in the first place. That's why he gave the third servant only 1. But the third servant didn't even put the money in the bank to earn interest. He didn't do anything. And because of his talent, because of his laziness, the talent was taken from him. So what's the moral of this parable? What is Jesus trying to get through to us? Well, first of all, Jesus recognizes each person differently. You know, we're at all different levels. We're all the same. We all wear the same colors. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, but we're in different levels. And for each of the servants in the story, get this, if any one of them had failed, his excuse couldn't be, "You gave me too much. I'm overwhelmed." Because in the story, they received what was according to their own ability. So their excuse couldn't be, "Well, that was too much responsibility for me." No, the servant, the master knew the servants. He knew their capabilities, and he didn't put on them more than they could handle. And guys, here's the thing. God, in our lives, makes us a steward over time and abilities and other gifts. And we are expected to use those in serving him and serving others. And we are responsible to use wisely what God has given us as individuals and as a church. And the issue is not how much we have, but how well we use it. And we should all faithfully carry out our duties and responsibilities so that we can multiply our talents for the sake of the kingdom. So Jesus recognizes each person differently. Also, Jesus expects us to invest in and build his kingdom until he returns. That's the basic message of the story here. Guess what? It's something we understand very well. Jesus is going to return one day. Amen? That's a fact. But until that time happens, God makes us stewards over time and abilities, and he expects us to invest them wisely until he returns. And one day, guys, here's the thing, and something we don't quite think about sometimes, we'll have to give an account of our faithfulness. We'll have to give an account of our faithfulness. You see, there's nothing more important, guys, in our lives. Remember, we've exchanged an earthly dwelling for a heavenly dwelling. We become a new creation. We're somebody different now. And for us now, there's nothing more important than the kingdom of heaven, because we're kingdom citizens. There's nothing more important than the kingdom of heaven. And so, does that mean we have to, you know, quit our jobs and go sell our possessions and serve God? No. But what it does mean is that we need to use our time and talents and treasures diligently to serve God and his church in all that we do. These things that God has given us, our resources, our abilities, our employment, our families, everything that we have, are to be used for the advancement of the gospel. And you know what? Sometimes that means a change. Sometimes that means we change our professions. Sometimes God calls us to the mission field, you know, to go overseas or to go somewhere else, to go implanting a church or something like that. Sometimes that means change. But you know what? For most of us, it means continuing and doing what we're doing now. Our daily work, our daily jobs, our daily responsibilities in the church, doing what God has called us to do in this time for the love of God and for the kingdom of God. To be faithful in that. Always be faithful in what you have been given. And then the third thing that Jesus talks about here, this moral of the story, if you will, is that Jesus rewards those who invest in the kingdom. In the parable, the master took away the talent from the third servant and gave it to the one who had earned 10. And this story describes the harsh reality, the harsh consequences of two attitudes regarding Christ's return. The person who prepares for it by investing their time and talent to serve God is going to be rewarded. Guess what? There's going to be rewards in heaven. And it's not going to be equal. Some will receive more and some others not as many. It's based on what we do. Now, we understand that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and only through Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that we can't boast in them." And so we're saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. But after we become Christians, we are called to do in obedience what God has called us to do. And when we do those, the Bible says there will be rewards in heaven. And so those who invest in the kingdom will be rewarded. And we're going to want those rewards in heaven. But the person who has no heart for the work of in the kingdom, I mean, according to the story, according to the parable, they're going to be punished. Because God rewards faithfulness. And listen, guys, those who bear no fruit for God's kingdom, you cannot be expected to be treated. You cannot expect to be treated in the same way as those who are faithful. Now, when I say rewards, maybe there's some heaven, there's some earthly rewards. I don't mean wealth and health and things like that. We see some of that garbage preached by the knuckleheads on TV. And that's just baloney. You know, I look at the life of Paul, who was probably the most faithful of everybody in the Bible, or one of the most faithful at least. And what did he have? He had a life of hardship. He said, "Listen, I've been naked. I've been hungry. I've been on the run for my life. I've been beaten with rods. I've been whipped." You know, all these things that I've gone through. That doesn't sound like a life of luxury. That doesn't sound like he's wearing a $2,000 Armani suit, driving a Lamborghini or something like that. Man, he had struggles. But there was blessings in addition to that that we don't know of. There is blessing in serving the Lord. And he would have been the first to tell you. But those who bear no fruit for God's kingdom, you cannot expect to be treated in the same way as those who are faithful. And let me just say, one of the greatest rewards, and you, this is something you all know. I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm just reminding you. One of the greatest rewards in serving God and serving others is the joy that fills our hearts. Amen? The joy that fills our hearts. And knowing that we're loving God and loving other people. And being used by Him for His glory and honor. But Jesus rewards those who invest in the kingdom. I want to close things this morning by, we kind of had a moral of the story here, but what exactly have we learned this morning as we think about stewardship? Now, we've gone through this really fast. There's so many more things that could be said about stewardship, but for the sake of time, we had to go quickly, and I hope that you will continue to think about these things and read this parable and let it sink into your life and how God wants to use this story in your life. But what have we learned this morning? Well, we've learned that we as followers of Christ have been entrusted with resources of time and treasure. We all have things that God has given us. And everything we have comes from God and belongs to God. Well, Pastor, I went to school. I worked hard. I did this. Yes, you did. You went to school. You worked hard. You got a degree or whatever. Or you learned to trade and whatever. And yes, you did work hard. But God gave you the ability, the finances, the wherewithal to be able to do those things. It all goes back to Him. And we have to point to Him and understand that everything that we have comes from God. It belongs to Him. And as God's stewards, we're responsible for using these resources for the proclamation of the gospel and for the furtherance of God's kingdom. What we have, the possessions that we have, the skill set that we have, the characteristics that we have, all should be used for the advancement of the gospel and for the proclamation of the gospel. The same is true for us. The same is true for us as individuals. And guys, the same is true for us here at Bogey Hills. Our church is no different than our individual families. In fact, our church is made up of families. And the fact that the resources that God has given us here at Bogey Hills is no different than the resources that you have individually. And we as a church are responsible for using what God has given us for the proclamation of the gospel and for the furtherance of God's kingdom. I talked about this a few months ago, but just as a reminder, again, we think a lot of times when we think of stewardship, we think of money. And I would just say our 2024 budget that we voted on, you know, way back when, In case you don't know, our yearly budget for Bogey Hills is $203,199. And guys, this is not just some random amount that our stewardship team, our finance team threw together. It was prayed about. It was discussed in detail. And let me just say, when you give your tithes and offerings here, we need about $3,900 per week to meet our budget. And let me just say, guys, that your money here can be trusted at Bogey Hills. Because our stewardship team looks at our income and expenses every month. We practice godly stewardship with the resources that God has provided through our giving. Our treasurer, Jerry Jones, keeps impeccable records. She's accountable to our stewardship team. We have quarterly business meetings where you can ask questions and see for yourself why we spend what we spend. And let me just say, our 2024 budget this year has quite a bit more for ministries and missions and things like that, because as a committee, as a stewardship committee, and as a church, we understand that that's what's most important. So the things that we have in our budget are not just some random number that we came up with. It's something that we feel like that we want to do with God's resources so that we can build the kingdom of God and proclaim the gospel to all the nations. And as stewards of the Lord's resources here at Bogey Hills, everything we do, every decision that's made, every committee that we have, every song that is sung, everything that we do here at Bogey Hills should be with one thing in mind: the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom at the heart of it. That's why we do what we do. So we're responsible to use our resources for the proclamation of the gospel and for God's kingdom. And finally, as God's stewards, because we're stewards, right? Okay, you may not be on the church stewardship team, but you are a steward. And God has made you a steward. You will be held accountable. I will be held accountable to Him for the use of His resources. And we often talk about tithing, and tithing is an important principle, and we should follow it. But what if God would want to ask more of you? As my daughter often says, you know, who is overseas right now, we always keep our hand open to the Lord. We can have in our mind, this is what I'm going to do, but we always keep our hand open for God to take or for God to put in, right? When you have a closed hand, God can't take it and He can't put anything in either. So we keep our hand open. We're accountable to Him for the resources that He's given us. So be a steward of what God has given you. Finally, maybe you can't be a steward of God's resources because you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is something we do every week as I share the plan of salvation, because it's the most important thing that we'll talk about all day is the gospel. You can't rightly be a steward of God's resources because you don't belong to God. You haven't accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. And maybe today the Lord is speaking to your heart that you need to put your faith and trust in Him for the very first time. And in order to do that, here's what you need to do. Admit you're a sinner. We're all sinners, every one of us. None of us here is perfect. There's only one person that was perfect that ever walked the face of the earth, and that's Jesus Christ, and we'll never be Him. But He did for us what we cannot do. And so we had to admit we're sinners, and we need to ask forgiveness and turn away from our sins. And we have to believe in what Jesus has done for us. What did He do? He lived a sinless life. He died. He was buried. He rose again. That's the gospel. He ascended to the Heavenly Father, and one day He'll return for His glorious bride, the church. But until that time, we have to work for Him. But believe in what Jesus has done for us. And then finally, commit your life to Jesus. We talked about this as Savior and as Lord. Say, God, what I have is Yours now. My abilities, my characteristics, everything that makes up who I am is not mine, it's Yours. Here, I'm opening my hands and my heart to You. I'm going to make You my Lord and Savior. That's what it means. That's what Jesus said. If you want to come after Me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Me. We die to our way of life, ourselves, and we follow Him and do what He wants us to do. So if you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus, that's what you need to do. And Andrew's going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And as He does, You know, as we sing this song, you can just say a simple prayer of faith right there where you are. Just between you and the Lord, making that commitment to Him. But if you pray that prayer, if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guys, we need to know about it. We want to know about it. We want to help you get to that next step in your life spiritually. There's a connect card in front of you. You can fill out the card. Put any decision on there that you have made this morning and drop it in the offering box so that we can contact you later and help you in your walk with Christ. If you want to come talk to me and have me pray for you or talk to you further, I'll be right down here at the front, or we can meet sometime later on. But we're going to have a time of invitation, and the invitation is for Jesus, to let Jesus do business in our heart. So let's pray, and then we'll sing and let God do His work. Lord, we thank You today for what we've learned about stewardship. Father, we've gone through it so quickly. There's so many more things that could be said. And I pray that You would continue to work in our hearts and our minds. Lord, teach us through Your word, through Your Holy Spirit, so that we can be all that we can be for You. Father, help us to let go of what we think is ours and give it over to Your control for Your glory and honor. Teach us what that looks like. Teach us what we need to do. And Father, we invite You right now to have Your way in us. Whatever You need to do, Lord, we open ourselves to You for Your glory and honor. Lord, we love You, and we praise You, and we thank You, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus.